We begin the current daf in Sefer Ksubis, daf Pei Alf. We begin on the bottom of Pei Amud Beis, five lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins a discussion related to the Mishnah that was just discussed on the bottom of the previous daf. That is, the thread of these Mishnais in this Perek discusses when a woman inherits something, Ha'isha Shenaflu. Now this previous Mishnah discussed regarding not a regular wife, but a Shemeris Yavam, a woman that her brother, her husband had died without any children. Now she's waiting for Yibum by her brother-in-law. So we said that a Shemeris Yavam, she could sell, she has all the rights, unlike a regular wife, because the Yavam doesn't have any rights in her yet, not related to Peres, not related to anything. Now, however, the Mishnah said that if she dies as a Shemeris Yavam, then there are many different divisions relating what the halachas are regarding her assets or things that are belonging to her, which we specify three different categories, that of the Ksuba, that of the Nechsi Tzaren Barazel, and that of the Nechsi Milug. Now, so regarding that specific case that the Mishnah spoke about, when you have a Shemeris Yavam Shemesa, and as we discussed, Machlaikis and the Mishnah, Besham, Besil, regarding what happens with those things. So related to that case, the Gemara says, Yibayilhu, that the following question, Shemeris Yavam Shemesa, regarding this case of a woman that's anticipating Yibum, who dies, Mikaivra, who buries her, and as Rashi explains, the question of the Gemara is specifically because, as we explained in the Mishnah, that there are two different inheritors. Generally, the Yerushim have to bury her. Whoever inherits our estate has the obligation, the onus of burying her. Now, however, the Shemeris Yavam has two different types of inheritors. So who has to bury her? As the Gemara explains the question. Yerushi Habal Kavrila, do we say the inheritors of her previous husband who died, which is a reference to the Yavam, that he has to bury her, and the reason is the Kuyarti Ksuba, because he inherits her Ksuba. As we explained in the Mishnah that Basil said, that there the Chazaka, who was Muchzik in the Ksuba up until now of the 100 or the 200 Zos, that was the husband, which the inherit of the husband is the Yavam. Now, as Rashi brings, as the Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin Mabeis brought from a Braisa, that Kvurasa Techas Ksubasa, the obligation of burying her, of one's wife, correlates to the fact that the husband gets the Ksuba, which the Ksuba has a few different components, one of them being this Mana Masayim that the husband gives to the wife, but also additionally is what the husband brings in to the husband, which is the Nechsi Tzaren Barzel and other things that are written in that she's bringing into the marriage. So since the Yavam is inheriting the Ksuba, the Yerusha Av, therefore he has the obligation, although he never actually did Yibum, of burying her. Adilma Yerusha Av Kabrila. Maybe that no. Maybe the inheritors of the father, her inheritors, they have to bury her. The koyarti nichosama nichnosama yitznima, as we learned in Basil in the Mishnah, that the father's inheritor, that her father's inheritors, meaning her brothers, they inherit her nichsimilug. And therefore, as the Rishayim discusses, Tesis brings out that essentially there are different components over here that are the nedunya, that are part of the ksuba. So what is the qualifying factor? That, yes, the one who gets the ksuba, but which part? The ksuba of Mana Messiah that the Yavim gets. So does he have to bury her? Or however, but the Nechsi Milog, which is also the Nedunya, the dowry that is brought in by the wife into the marriage, where generally the husband inherits that, and that's what we call ksuba, and therefore he has to bury her. But here the Hirshay Av get that. So do they have to bury her? That was the Gemara's question. Now, Amar of Amram, he says, Toshima, the Tanya, come in here, we'll bring a proof from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Shemeris Yavim Shemesa. This exact case. A woman anticipating Yibim that dies, Yersheha, Yershik Subasa, her inheritors, those who inherit her Ksuba, in other words, which is a reference to the Yavam, who inherits her Ksuba, as we explained in the Mishnah, Chayav Mikvarasa. So they have to go ahead and bury her. So you see explicitly from the Mishnah, from this Braisa, that the obligation of the burial is on the Yavam. So Amar Baye says, Avanana Matanin, he says, we learned this actually in the Mishnah later on the Tzadahim and Beis. The Mishnah says, Amona nizaynis minichsi yisayim, a widow, when her husband dies, so she gets fed from the estate of the orphans, meaning that her sons inherit, but she gets fed. Umaysideh shalahen, and however, what she earns goes to them, to the estate. However, v'ein chayav mikfurasa, they're not obligated to bury her. And that's because the ones that get the ksuba are the inheritors that have to bury her. As the Mishnah says, rather, yersher, yershik ksubasa chayav mikfurasa, those who inherit her ksuba, they have to bury her. Now, and that the proof of Abaya is, v'ezuhi almana sheyesh lo shnei yershin. What type of a widow has two inheritors? In other words, why did the Mishnah see fit to say that no, that the they don't have to bury her. It's only the those Yerushim that inherit her ksuba. Obviously, there are other Yerushim that she has that inherit her that do not inherit the ksuba. So have a Eimer, so what you could infer that the case of the Mishnah of this Toma, that Zu Shemeres Yavam, obviously is Toma the case of a Shemeres Yavam, where although that there's a her husband's estate, however, there's two different inheritors now. There's an inheritor that inherit her ksuba, which is the Yavam. Therefore, since he gets the ksuba, that's what the Mishnah says, that is Chayav Mikfarasa. And then there's also Yerushim. Who's the other Yerushim? That's like we said, that's the Yerushi Ha'av. And since there's two types of Yerushim, we're saying that the obligation is on the ones who get the ksuba, and therefore we see clearly that in the case of a Shemeres Yavam, Yerushi Ksubasa is the Yavam, he has to go ahead and bury him. Now then I'm a Rava asked in Abaya. But Velema, let the Yavam say to the woman, the one that died, meaning in Halacha he should say, look, Ach Ani Yerush, says, I am inheriting my brother. In other words, this ksuba that I'm inheriting, yes, generally the ksuba is mechayiv, the one who gets it to bury the woman. But he's saying, I'm not getting it from the father's dowry. Rather, it's the 100 and the additional that the husband was writing, his brother that passed away, that wrote to her, that my brother wrote, says that I'm not inheriting from her, I'm inheriting from my brother. And therefore, ishtay ein ani kayiv, I'm not burying his wife. Essentially what Rabbah is asking is that there's two parts to Ksuba. There's what he writes to her, and then what she writes to him, meaning what her father brings into the marriage that she's bringing in. So what Rabbah is asking is that how we're defining that Ksubasa is what's the Yersh, that as we said in the Mishnah, the Ksuba is the Yavim that inherits it, because who's the Muchzik on that? The Muchzik on that was the person who, the previous departed husband who his brother inherits that, to pay out $100-$200, he was muchzik on that. Then you say, like, he's the muchzik. Now, on that he's saying is that, it's not like even that I'd be getting nichzi tzarim barzel, which, fine, that you would say, it obviously is coming from the woman that just passed away. If I'm getting that, obviously I'm getting that from her. So then, that would obligate me in the kfura. That's not even what we're just talking about. We're talking about the ksuba itself, that his brother was obligated in, and he's not giving it, so therefore that would be the obligation of the ksuba, of her kfura. But on that, this yavam is saying that has the shemeres yavam, but he's saying I'm not getting that from her. I'm getting that from my brother, and therefore since I'm not inheriting her, I'm not inheriting her ksuba from her, so therefore I don't have an obligation to go ahead and bury her. Somli Abayas, Abay responded to Rabbi, says mishum deboi nilav mishnei tzadon. He says no, you can't get out of this. Because the claim is going to be from either side. And that is as follows. Im achiv yerish, if you're saying that he's inheriting his brother, well then yikveres ishtay. Then he has to bury his wife. In other words, just like the brother that you're inheriting would have to bury her if she died when he's alive, even though, let's say, there would be no nichsi term barzel, doesn't make a difference. The ksuba is tachas kvurasa. Now, ksuba can be also term barzel. Let's say she brought in thousands or hundreds, millions of dollars, doesn't make a difference, even if there wasn't any, because that he has the ksuba, he would have to bury her if she dies first. So if you're inheriting that ksuba, the 100, 200, that you're not giving to the woman that just passed away, the Shemeres Yavam, but the fact that you're getting that, so then you have to bury his wife. And if you're not burying his wife, well then yitin ksubasa, then you should have to give her the ksuba, and the reason is because the kfura comes in place of the ksuba. So either way, if you're holding on to the ksuba, you have to bury her. So Amalei, so Rav responded to Abaya. He says, no, hochei kamina, this is what I was telling you. This is what I'm saying. That the Yavim should be able to say, Ach ani yerush, I'm inheriting my brother, es ishtei ein ani kaver, I'm not burying his wife. Now, ve'imishum ksuba, and if, like, you responded to me, but what do you mean? But there's the ksuba, and the ksuba is tachas kvarasa. So either way, if the yavam is getting the ksuba, then he has to bury her. What am I trying to say? And that Rava says, "Balei nitna ksuba ligvis michayim." A ksuba cannot be collected as long as the husband is alive, if he didn't divorce her. Now, therefore, what Rava is saying is that the yavam could say, "I am in place of my brother." In other words, I wanted to do yibum. Which means to say, like, Torah Mishamayim, they gave him his brother's wife. And since I'm alive, it's like my brother's alive. And if my brother's alive, well then she can go ahead and collect iksuba, because iksuba is only when she gets widowed. And therefore, he's saying that I'm only inheriting my brother. I don't want to bury his wife. Now you said, oh, but what's the iksuba? He says, but I can't give her the iksuba, because the iksuba is only when the husband is dead and I'm not dead. So the Gemara says that the answer to Rabbi's question is that man shamet le de isle medrash ksuba. Who is it that expounds the terminology of the ksuba? In other words, what Abai answers to Rav is that, what's your taina? That you're expounding the words of the ksuba. The ksuba says, lekeshetinasi la'acher, when you get married to someone else, titli masha kasev lechi, then you'll take what was written for you. No. And that Abai is saying that what you're inferring, Rava, is that a ksuba cannot be collected when the husband's alive. Because when he's alive, she can't get married to someone else. So you're saying that he's saying, I don't want to bury her. So they're saying, okay, they give her the ksuba. So I can't give her the ksuba because the ksuba is only given when she marries someone else. And that's only when he's dead and I'm not dead. And I take the place of my brother. But on that, Abai tells Rava, who expounds the words? You're expounding the words. You're making a drasha based on the words of the ksuba. Who does that? That's Beis Shammai. As the Gemara brings him, that Beis Shammai said in regards to a specific halacha that Basil actually ended up agreeing to Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai says, we learn this from the words of the ksuba itself. And that is, although the halacha is that a woman is believed to remarry based on their own testimony that her husband died, Basil originally said that, but not to collect the ksuba. And that Beis Shammai says, but look at the words of the ksuba. The ksuba says, l'keshetinasi la'acha, when you marry someone else, titli masha kasav lecha, then you'll take what the ksuba is. Now, since now she can get married based on her own testimony, because she could say Meiz Bali, so then Beis Shammai said that she could also go ahead and collect her ksuba now, because that's what the words of the ksuba say. When she gets married to someone else, she could take her ksuba. Now, therefore, Abai says to Rava, since it's Beis Shammai that makes this drasha that you're asking your question from, but because of that itself, it's not a question what you're asking. Because Beis Shammai lul Beis Shammai damri, Beis Shammai themselves are on record as having said, t'chtar ha'imid ligvois, when there's a document that's waiting to be collected. In other words, if someone has a document that's owed to him on his friend, so actually the collector is more of a muchzik in those properties than the borrower himself. And actually it's even kegavur damai. It's like it's already collected, and therefore the nechasim is already in the chazaka of the collector, not in the debtor. And therefore what Abai is answering to Rava is actually that your taina is not a taina, because the yavam is not inheriting it from his brother and saying, look, I have nothing to do with this woman. I don't, you want to say she should get a ksuba? Fine, but she can't because I'm alive. And that Abai is saying to Rav, it's not true. Because actually the ksuba is being inherited not from his brother, but actually from the wife, from the shemeres yavam. And if you're taking the ksuba, as that's what Basil said in the Mishnah, the previous stuff, that he gets the ksuba, then you have to bury her because you're getting it from her, not from your brother. And the reason is because the woman has a shtar, a ksuba, that's oimid ligovis, that's going to be collected. And therefore it's like it's collected, or like it's her ksuba already. And therefore, even though she never collected it, it's really her, and it was her chazaka. And if he's getting it, he's getting it from her, and that's why he has to bury her. It's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechta Seita that illustrates this halacha of shtar oimid ligovis kegavur dami of Beis Shammai, which this Mishnah is talking about any wife, where the husband did kinur to her, which is that he warned her not to seclude herself with that specific man, and then she secluded. Now, that's what's called the halacha of the saita, where she's a suspected adulterous woman, and then she goes out and she drinks the meis saita. Now, the Mishnah there talks about that meisu ba'alein ad shelo shasu, where the husband didn't get a chance to have her drink the meis saita waters, which that verifies if she really was, if she had an adulterous affair or not. So she didn't get a chance to drink it yet. So and the husband died already. So Bishama Amen, Bishama say, Nightlis Ksuba Balaishis. She takes her ksuba, because we don't know for any fact that she was unfaithful. And therefore when her husband dies, she collects ksuba. And although we can verify with the waters, she doesn't drink. And the reason is because the pasuk says Vehevi Ha'ish es Ishta. It says that the husband brings the wife, and if he's dead, he can't bring her. So therefore she doesn't drink it. And since she didn't drink it, she could go ahead and take her ksuba. Whereas the Beis Halayim, they argue, they say, no, Aish Aish Aish, Aish 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 either you drink and then you take your ksuba, or if you're not drinking, you can't take the ksuba. Which the question on Beis Hillel is, Aish Aishas, that's an option. Either you drink and you take the ksuba. But the pasuk says, Vehevi Ha'ishas, Ishta Yala Kainam Rachman. The Torah says that the man has to bring the woman to the kain, Valeka, and you don't have that. How could that be an option of drinking? Ella, rather, what Beis Hillel meant to say was that you're right. Mitech Shalei Shaisas, since she cannot drink, because the husband's not alive anymore, so like this ksuba, so she can't take her ksuba, because she cannot verify that she didn't have an adulterous affair and thus lose her rights to ksuba, and therefore she doesn't take it. Now, on that, the Gemara concludes the Raya. Beishamai said, Noitlis ksuba v'lei shaisis. She takes her ksuba and she doesn't drink. Now the question is, v'amai? But why? Sveka hu? It's doubtful. Why? Safik zanoi. Maybe she was mezana and she lost the rights to ksuba, and safik lo zanoi. Or maybe she wasn't mezana. We don't know. That's the whole parasha of the Saita. For ka'asi safik u'maitim in the vaday. And what are you saying? That a doubtful woman could go ahead and remove definite money from the inheritors of the husband, who they're definite in the inheritance? How can you say that? Ain't safik maitim in the vaday. Why does Beis Shammai say that she takes the ksuba? Rather, Kesavi Beis Shammai must be that Beis Shammai holds. Shtar ha'omid ligavo is kagavi dami. Must be that a document that's anticipated to be collected, it's like an aloha that's already collected, and therefore she's the muhzik in the estate that is responsible for her ksuba more than the yarshim, and therefore there is no maitzi midei vadai, because she's not being maitzi from them, it's hers already. And therefore Beis Shammai say that she takes the ksuba even though she's not drinking. And therefore, Abai is saying the same thing here applies to answer Rava's question regarding to the Yavam, that the Yavam has to bury her, because since the woman had the ksuba that was oymin ligavais, it's kagavi dami. And when she dies as a shemeres Yavam, where's the Yavam getting it from? Not from his brother, but rather he's getting the 100-200, either one, if it's a basul almona, he's getting it from the woman, and ever since he's taking from her the ksuba, so because of that he has the responsibility of the kfur, and that's like Abai had said, that answers the question that we asked, who is the Yerush of the ksuba that has the responsibility of burying her? But now the Gemara returns to ask regarding this interpretation of Abaya. That Abaya had said, to answer Rava's question, that he can't weasel his way out of it. Because like he said, that Mishnei Tzadin, that they could come at him from either way. Now, one of the ways that Abaya had said that would be that they would tell the Yavim that you have to bury her, was that, look, if you don't bury her, then you're going to have to give the ksuba. Now, the Gemara's question is that how could it be, and this was seemingly the claim that was presented before, how could she collect her ksuba when the Yavim is still alive? But that was the question we presented before, but we need, as the ksuba says, kishatinasi la'achar, the ksuba says, that the husband writes his wife, when you marry someone else, meaning after the husband's death, Titli, and then she can go ahead and have mezainis from the orphans, but when she marries someone else, Titli Masha Kasav Lechi, then you go ahead and you take what was written for you, meaning the ksuba. But Veleka, it seemingly is a good time against, how could Abaya have said that either way, either give the ksuba and then you won't have to bury her, or bury her and then you could keep the ksuba, but Veleka, but why should, how could, even if let's say you answered the question about the way Rava had reinterpreted himself and saying that it's not that he's collecting from his brother, you're right, he's collecting from her. But originally Abai had said that there's Mishum Deboin La Mishneid Stad. Im Ochiv Yairishi Kresishti. Im in the Kresishti Yitin Ksubasa. But how could he have said that? What does that mean that he has to go ahead and give her the ksuba if it's coming from the brother, as we said? But it doesn't make a difference. It's The problem is that if he's alive, it's like the brother's alive. And if the brother's alive, then there's no ksuba awarded. So Rav Ashi says, Yavam nami ka'achar dami. The Yavam is considered like someone else. And that is, since when her husband died, she was permitted to marry someone else, specifically the Yavam. So from that moment on, she already merited to have the Nechasim. And since she merited to have the Nechasim, so that was what Abaya had originally answered to Rava, that, again, it's still her right to get the ksuba, and therefore, look, if you're taking the ksuba, you have to bury her because it's her right, and if not, then you don't get the ksuba. But again, that's based on the principle of Kishatanashalacha, which you do have because the Yavam is like an Acher. Not like the way we had originally presented it, that he's be makom of the husband, and if he's still alive, it's like the husband's still alive, and therefore she cannot get the ksuba. Now the Gemara continues this discussion of the Abaye presenting that it's the Yavam that has to bury her, and Rava asking questions on that. So Shalach le Rava l'Abaye. So after that, Abaye had responded to the question that Rava had asked, and he said that it's not true, that the Yavama could collect the ksuba, even though the Yavam is still alive, as we explained just now, where it's actually either, like we said, Ha'imid Ligabi's Kegavi Dami, or because of that actually he is like the Acher, the Yavam itself, and therefore the woman already has the rights in the ksuba. But be that as it may, Rava continued asking Abaye. And he sent it Biyad Rav Shmaya Barzera. He sent the question in that the shliach for this response was Rav Shmaya Barzera. And Rava continued asking. He says, Umidnit Niksuba? Is it really true that the ksuba of a Yavama is Ligvis Michaim, could be collected when the Yavam is still alive? And that's the whole premise of what Abaye is saying, that since it could be collected, maybe the Yavam that's inheriting is inheriting it from her, and that's why he has to bury her. But by the time Linda Bryce says follows, Rib Abba Emer, Rib Abba says, Sha'altiya Sumchas says, I asked Sumchas, Haritza Sheyimker Benichsi Aviv. If Yavam wants to sell from his departed brother's estate, after he already had already did Yibam to the Yavama, which we said before already, that all the brothers, the departed brother's estate, is responsible, is liable for the ksuba of his new wife, of the Yavama, and therefore essentially he's not allowed to sell any of it. So what does he do if he wants to sell of it? Ketsuduay, so what should he do? So he said, Im Kayin, who, if the Yavam is a Kayin, where if he divorces her, he's not going to be able to remarry her. So that's not an option. So Yasa Sudu, what he should do is he should make a massive celebration, a Suda, a meal, and he should seduce her during the drinking of the wine of the party, via Fias, and he should appease her that she should give him permission to sell the excess of what's responsible for the ksuba. In other words, Chazal were concerned about her ksuba. But if her ksuba is just one mana and he has 1,000 mana, so all of it is responsible, but he says, look, do me a favor, you know, I'm your husband now. Let's keep 100 mana, but at least give me permission to sell 900 of it. Let me sell the rest, and vifias, and then she'll be appeased, and she'll let him. That's a way out of this predicament. However, im Yisrael hu, if the Yavam, the new husband, is Yisrael, where he's permitted to remarry a woman that he divorces, so then Megarish Beget, he divorces her with a get, and then she collects her ksuba, and then he could sell whatever he wants to, and then Viyachzer, and then he could go ahead and remarry her, either based on the original ksuba, or even if he wants to remarry her right away, if he wants to write her a new ksuba, he could go ahead and sell whatever he wants to, whenever he wants to. And the reason is because the only reason why originally wasn't able to sell, and that this is a halacha only by a yavama. The reason being is because the yavam doesn't write a ksuba for the yavama. Rather, and moreover, since he's not writing a ksuba, he doesn't have the terminology of which a regular ksuba has, which is the kanoyu with the kanina. Whatever I have already purchased, whatever I will purchase, is responsible for your ksuba. And since her ksuba is only on the first husband's estate, so therefore Chazal instituted that she could stop him from selling any of it. And the reason is because whatever he's going to leave over for a ksuba might get ruined. And although the Gemara says later on, the Tzadahim at Beis, that even if what was set aside gets ruined, she could collect from Meshabadim. However, she could say, I don't want to have to go to Bezdin. And therefore, he can't sell any of it. Now, however, if he writes her a new ksuba when he remarries her, so then he writes Kaniya or Kanino, so then she can't hold him back from selling any of it because there's always going to be some way, which is what's the regular ksuba for a regular woman, she could collect from any of it. So therefore, that's how he said that's a way out of it. Kayin, you're going to have to appease her, but Yisrael could go ahead and divorce her and then remarry her either based on the original ksuba or a new ksuba, and either way he can go ahead when it's based on the original ksuba, which is from the first husband's estate. However, in the divorce period, then he could sell whatever he wants to. Or even if he wants to remarry her right away, if he writes a new ksuba, so then it's like a regular husband, which he could sell whatever he wants to from whatever properties he has. Now, And that Rava concludes his question as we continue on Tamid Beis. Now, if you entertain like you Abaya trying to say that the woman could collect her ksuba even when the yavam is alive, well, then there's an easier way out. Let the yavam designate a certain amount for the ksuba and sell the rest. What's the problem? You're saying she could collect when the yavam's still alive? So go ahead, set aside and have it ready for it to collect. It's like she collected, and then the rest you could do whatever you want with it. Now, on that Abaye responded, Ultameich, according to your reasoning, you Rava, that you want to say that the reason why you're inferring that Simchas had said that the only way he could sell whatever he wants to is to divorce her, and the reason being is because he can't do what would be called for the Yavama to collect a ksuba when the Yavama's still alive, if that's what you're inferring from Simchas, then why did you have to go to Reb Abba to ask from a Braisa? Abai says, you could have asked from a Mishnah, from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lo yoymer lo, the Yavam should not tell the Yavama, Hare ksubasayich menechas leich ala shulchan, here, your ksuba is on this money I'm designated on the table. Rather, all of the husband, his brother that passed away, the one that passed away on the children, all his estate is meshubed, is achroi for her ksubasa. Now, Abaye says, you could have asked from the Mishnah, meaning, obviously, your question is like in the Mishnah, where obviously you cannot collect, the Yavama cannot collect the ksuba when the Yavama is still alive, because if you could, then the Mishnah shouldn't have said you can't designate on the table. Yeah, designate on the table. Here, this yuksuba, go ahead and take it. Obviously, you could ask from the Mishnah. Now, on that, Rava answers that not true. I couldn't have asked from the Mishnah. The reason being is because Hasam, in the Mishnah, you could say that that's actually not a din. It's not a requirement. And rather, Eitzah Teva Kamash Malan, what the Mishnah is just saying is a good idea that she shouldn't lose her ksuba. If you're saying that this is your ksuba, if those whatever items he put metaltlin on the table get lost, comes out that she doesn't have a ksuba anymore because that was the ksuba. Now, if that's the case, as Tais explains, so then he's going to have to write her a new ksuba. And that Tais explains, which is according to Rashi's interpretation, would only be going according to Reb Meir, who that's problematic because Reb Meir says you cannot have your wife for even a moment if you don't have the ksuba. So Rava says, no, that's not true. Don't tell me that why am I asking from a Baba, from the Braisa, with Sumchas, and I could have asked the same question from the Mishnah. No, the Mishnah, I'll tell you, is just giving you a good idea that you shouldn't lose the ksuba, not halacha, that you can't do it. And I'll prove it to you, Rava says. Because if you don't say that it's just an Eitzah Teva, but say for the Ketani, look at the end of our Mishnah. The end of our Mishnah says that this halacha of don't say this is your ksuba on the table, but rather everything is achroi for it, all my properties, it's not just by a yavam and yavama. Rather, v'chein lo yema odim l'ishtoi. Any husband should not tell his wife, Hare ksubasayich menachas leich ala shulchan, here's your ksuba on the table. Meaning if, let's say, he's a shulchan, he's someone, a money changer, and he has money on the table, he says, this is your money. He shouldn't say that. El kol nochas v'chein lo ksubas ishtoi. Rather, all his property is responsible for his wife's ksuba. Now, that the question is, if a regular husband wanted to sell, use the money, use property, you think he wouldn't be able to go ahead and sell any of his property? But that's not true. There's only three fields, which there are certain halachas, that those are cases where specifically they're forbidden to be sold. But someone that didn't write or didn't designate a certain field, he can go ahead and sell everything. And she can't stop him. And the reason is because in the regular ksuba, he writes, the kanino, whatever I have purchased, whatever I will purchase, is mishubit to your ksuba. And therefore, when he dies or divorces her, so she could collect from the lekuchas. So what is the Mishnah saying that a husband shouldn't tell his wife that this is your ksuba, which would be, according to what Abaye wants to ask on Rava, that the understanding of the Mishnah would mean that because he cannot tell her that, but what does that mean? He can't sell any of the other things, meaning like a bayavam where he can't sell any other things. Of course he could. So why can't he tell her that this is your ksuba? He could designate, meaning, and then be able to use the rest to sell. Obviously, it's just a good idea, Because if he says this is for your ksuba, maybe whatever it is that he's designating, this beautiful chest that's on the table, if it gets lost, comes out that she doesn't have a ksuba anymore. And he's going to have to write her a new ksuba. And that's a problem, because in the interim, when there's no ksuba, he's not going to be able to stay married for that period. It's going to be a problem. He's going to have to get a ksuba. And therefore, Rava says, Hachanami, it's a tevi kamashma. And therefore, the reisha, the Mishnah, regarding a yavam, wasn't regarding the ability to let the yavam go ahead and use the rest of the items to sell. And that's what it's saying, that he can't designate it to allow her to collect a ksuba mechaim, to be able to go ahead and collect, as we see from the Sefer, which is not to be able to go ahead and use the rest to sell, because a regular husband always could sell, even without saying that. Obviously, it's just a good idea, and therefore, there it's also a good idea. And therefore, my question was from Ababa in the Brice and not from the Mishnah. So, therefore, the Gemara concludes Rava's question, Elder Ababa Kasha. So, therefore, it would seemingly be that Rava has a good question from Ababa in the Brice. Although we said why Rava doesn't ask from the Mishnah, but instead of divorcing her, he should just designate money for her. And the reason being is because the option of divorce is obviously degrading for both of them. So obviously the reason why that wasn't given as an option to set aside money is because obviously she cannot collect her ksuba mechayim, and hence it cannot be like she has her ksuba to allow the yavam to go ahead and sell the rest, and therefore the only option is divorce, and that seemingly is difficult to Abaya, who said that the yavama could collect her ksuba mechayim of the yavam. It's only mechayim of her husband that she cannot. So the Gemara answers no. The Rabbi Abba Nami Loi Kasha. Just like the Gemara had said that even Rava agreed that he didn't ask from the Mishnah why it's not an option of setting aside money because it's just the Eitzah Tebe Kamash Malon, so too the Braisa of Rabbi Abba is also not difficult on Abaya. And the reason being is because Mishum Eva. Truth is, like Abaya had said, that a Yavamot could collect Haksuba Mechaim of the Yavam. But if the Yavam will designate for his wife, either Karka or Metatlin, that this is for your ksuba, so that's going to create hatred between the two of them. Because she's going to think, why is he setting aside a ksuba? He doesn't look like he's dying any day soon. So why is he setting aside my ksuba, which is ready for when I leave? What, he wants to divorce me? Now, that's going to create Eva, that he's thinking about when she's leaving the union. So because of that, that's not an option. Now, however, although the Rabbi Abba gave an option of divorce, which is definitely not a good thing either, but when he divorces her with the intention of remarrying her, she knows that the only reason why he divorced her is so that he can go ahead and sell the rest of the assets. And therefore, once he returns her, there's not going to be any hatred anymore, because she knows it's not really he doesn't like her. He obviously does, and that's why he's remarrying her. And that's why it wasn't said as an option, but not because it's not an option halachically. That halacha is like Abaya, that's what Abaya answers, that it is an option for the Yavama to collect Bechaye Hayavam, but again, in the Braisa, and possibly also in the Mishnah too, was based on the principle of Eva, because it causes hatred when he's setting aside money for a ksuba. Now the Gemara continues in the related discussion, what we're talking about, that a Yavam inherits the rights of Nichsei Achiv, which we said that therefore, since he gets the ksuba, and he also gets the rest of the assets of his brother, so therefore he has to go ahead and bury the wife. So the Gemara continues on this theme. Hahu gavra denafala yavama bepumbadis. There was a certain man, that there was a yavama, meaning his brother died without any children, in Pumbadisa. Now, he was the oldest brother, and generally the mitzvah is that the oldest brother has the obligation of doing the yibum. But boi achua, there was a younger brother that wanted to be lamifsala la begita minei. He wanted to invalidate his older brother from being able to do Yibam by throwing her a get. Now, as the Gemara explains the first Pekim Sechtes Yavamas, if any of the brothers give her a get, that rabbinically makes it forbidden for any of the brothers to do Yibam anymore. So the older brother said to the younger brother, "My Taitach, what are you thinking about? Why are you causing problems that no one's going to be able to do Yibam anymore? Mishum Nichsei? What, are you jealous that because I'm going to inherit all our departed brother's estate?" Because as the Mishnah says in Sechtes Yavamot Daf Mem Amud Alef, that Hakoinis is Yavimti, the one that does Yibum, he merits to get the whole estate of his brother. So he says, that's your problem. And the older brother told the younger brother, look, Ano benichse pelignoloch. I'll split with you, I'll go 50-50, as if I had done Chalitza, and then I would have to split it with you as inheritors of the brother. I'll split it with you anyway, even though I'm doing the Yibum. Now, consequently, regarding the halacha, Amrav Yosef, he said that kiven the Amar Rabbanan, since the rabbis said regarding a Shemeris Yavam that Loy Lizvin, the Yavam is not permitted to sell any of the brother's estate, as the Gemara later on explains, that it says Mishemeis v'neich Shemeris Yavam, that so that he's not allowed to sell any of it. So therefore, Rav Yosef says, Avagav de Zavin, even though he, so to speak, sold from the brother's estate, meaning that he made up a condition with his younger brother that he's going to split it, and they made a kinyan on it, they made an acquisition on it, so it's like he sold from his brother's estate. So therefore, the sale is not a sale. The Talmud learned the Brisa says, Mishemeis, someone died without any children, v'nich shemeres yavam, and he leaves a wife, a widow, who's the shemeres yavam, waiting for yibam from the brothers. V'nich nechasim b'mei mana, and he left an estate of worth 100 mana. So afa pishik subasa in ela mana, so even if the ksuba is only a 100th of that, one mana, the halacha is, lo yimker, the yavam is not allowed to sell from the brother's estate. The reason being, shekol nechasim b'cherein the ksubasa, because all the brother's estate is responsible, is liable for the ksuba, so he can't sell any of it. So Rav Yosef says, although he made a kinyan with his younger brother saying, I'm going to split it with you, he had no rights, because who are you to go ahead and sell it to the younger brother? It was Shemeris Yavam, which is when he did the kinyan, he had no rights in it. So therefore, even though he made a kinyan, it wasn't his. And therefore, actually, he gets all of it, and the younger brother doesn't get any of it. Amalei Abaye asked on Rav Yosef. He said, V'chol hecha do amra abono loy lizvin? Is it really true that wherever the rabbis say you cannot sell something, then avagav de zavin lehav zvine zvine, then even if he sells it, it's not a sale even after the fact? Your whole proof is he wasn't allowed to, so even if he did, it's not a sale. Is that really true? But what's now, we learn the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph that spoke about that when an arusa, a woman that's engaged, has what's called nafla, she inherits inheritance when she's engaged. So on that, we had a machlekes. Beshama, Eimrim, Timker, Beshama said, since she's only engaged, there's no payrus yet for the husband, so therefore she could sell. Beshama, Eimrim, Timker, Beshama said, no, she's not allowed to sell, because it's already one step closer to marriage, and that's the responsibility she has to the chasen of the payrus, so she's not allowed to sell it. But the Mishnah said, Eilu ve'eilu moedim she'machar v'nos nekayim, that if she did sell and she did give it, then it is valid after the fact. So you see, even though Bissil said that she's not allowed to sell, if she sold, it's going to be valid. So how can you prove your whole halach on the fact that he wasn't allowed to sell, that it's not going to be a sale even after the fact? So the Gemara says, Shalchu l'kamed Reb Chanina bar Papi. So they sent the question in front of Reb Chanina bar Papi. And Shalcha, because Reb Yosef, he sent back, like Reb Yosef had said, that all of it goes to the Yavim, to the older brother. And again, essentially because since he wasn't allowed to sell, so therefore it's not a sale. So Abaye said, Atur Reb Chanina bar Papi. Kipe? Did Reb Chanina bar Papi have nose rings that Talalei, that he hung on to this? In other words, with what did he beautify or explain any more than what Reb Yosef had said? He didn't answer my question whatsoever. Reb Yosef said the same thing. All he said was the halacha. He says, I heard from Reb Yosef already the halacha, but I have a question. My question is, even if you say he's not allowed to, but you see clearly from Basil on the Mishnah of Ayin Chesam and Aleph, it's still going to be valid after the fact. So maybe the younger brother should get half. So Shalchu l'kamei d'Rav Minyumi b'rei d'Rav Nechumi. So they sent a question in front of Rav Minyumi, the son of Rav Nechumi. And Shalchu k'dabaya. And he responded like Abaya had said, that although you're not allowed to sell, but when you did sell, the sale is a sale, and therefore the younger brother does get half. Now, however, in his response, he said, but vi'i amar bar Rav Yosef, time achrina, but if Rav Yosef ends up saying another reasoning to respond, to prove that actually the older brother gets everything, then shalchul, he said, send me, I want to be able to hear, maybe I'll retract. So nafak Rav Yosef, dak va'ashkaz. Rav Yosef went out, and he went to study, and he went and he found a source for his halacha. The Talmud learned the Braisa. The Braisa says, Harisha Haya, if there was a lender that was Noishaba Achiv, he had loaned money to his brother, and he was a creditor to his brother, Umeis. Now, the creditor, the lender, that brother died. V'hinich Shemeres Yavim, and he left a widow without any children, who now is waiting for Yibim to his brother, who is the debtor to him. So on that, the Braisa says, Lo Yoimer, the Yavim, who was obligated, who owed money to the brother that just died without any children, cannot say, look, since I am the inheritor, because since I'm marrying his wife, so I merit all his properties, all his assets. So therefore, I've already, I'm already holding on to that loan. So therefore, I could just keep it and I don't have to pay it anymore. So the Braisa says no. Elamitzin miyavim. We actually remove that loan. He owes it to his brother, although the brother's dead. We remove it from the yavim. V'yikach ben karka. And since it's really the responsibility, it's really the assets of his brother that passed away, and all his brother's assets are achroi to the ksuba of the yavama, so we have to take that money that he owes, purchase land with it, and that land cannot be sold. That's responsible for the wife. V'oechel peres, and he could eat the peres. So you see, Rabbi Yisus says that obviously that you cannot, his sale is not a sale, because here even we have a Shemeres Yavam where not only can he not sell, we even take what he already has and we take it away from him and we buy land with it and we give it to the, that it should be responsible for the Yavama. So obviously we take it away from him. Obviously he cannot take what's not even his yet and sell it. So then Abaya asked him, Rabbi Yosef, it says, it's not true. Dilma de Tavile. Maybe that this was a favor for the Yavam of the Lev. That's what they did for him. In other words, it's what's called Eitza Taiva. They're just giving him good counsel that the land should be there forever, that he has weird to be able to pay our ksuba from, and that he shouldn't take all the money that he's inheriting from his brother and spend it, because then he's going to be stuck when it's coming time to pay the ksuba. But essentially, Baya says, maybe it really is his money. Maybe the halacha is that he can maintain that. And the reason is because Zvini is Zvini, and therefore you're right. Of course we wouldn't remove money that he already has. It's just that we tell him, look, let's go ahead and take it away from you and use it to buy land so that there is what the woman could collect her ksuba from when it's time for her to collect. So Amalei Ravis responded to Abaya. Tana Tone Meitzin. The Tana's terminology was that Meitzin, which sounds like that forcefully we remove the loan from the debtor, from the Yavam. Va'at amrit detava le'avdila, and you're saying that they're doing him a favor? How can you use the terminology mitzin if it's just a favor? Obviously, like Rav Yisus said, that since it's a shemeris Yavam and he has no rights in selling it, so not only do I prove mahalocha that zvine is loizavin, that he cannot sell it, and therefore the older brother that made it with the younger brother is nothing, and he gets to keep it all, that even what he has, we take away from him. Now, Hadr Shalchu Kamedra Menyumim B'Reid Rav Nachumi. So they went and then they sent that Raya of Rav Yosef, as he had requested, to Rav Menyumi, to hear that Rav Yosef proved not like how he had originally said, which was like Abaya. So Amalahu, he said to them, Hachi Amr Rav Yosef Ba Menyumi Amr Rav Nachman. This is what Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Nachman. That Zu Eina Mishnah. That this Mishnah was not taught in the Beis Medrash of the sages, and therefore we can't rely on it. And it's not a valid braisa. So you can't, Rav Yisrael can't bring a proof from that braisa. And therefore, he could still say that halacha is like Abaya, that zvina is zvina after the fact. So the Gemara is my time, but why is that not a valid braisa? So the Gemara entertains. If, as you see in that case of the braisa that Rav Yisrael is bringing a raya from, that what was it talking about? It was talking about a loan. A loan is money. Money is metatlin, is movable items. The whole braisa is not valid because the whole case doesn't make sense. Because metatlin ana meshubet to the ksuba. So how could you say that not only is it meshubet, but we even take it away from him, from the yavam, who's the debtor, to make it liable for the ksuba, but metatlin is not meshubet? And that the Gemara says, dimle remeir, maybe the braisa like remeir. The amar metatlin meshabet to the ksuba, that he says that movable items are meshubet to the ksuba, as we learned in the Mishnah. That he said that regarding Kesafim and Peres Talushin, which are Metatlin, he said in the previous Mishnah that you go ahead and you purchase land with it, even if the Yavama had not been Typhus in it. So obviously that they're Meshubatar Ksuba. Now, as Rashi points out, although that we don't hold like Remeir in this halacha, we hold like the Chacham who argue in him, but however, regarding the halachic concept of Meitzian, there wouldn't be anyone that would argue if it, let's say, it's talking about karka. Let's say the brother, the debtor, had his brother's karka, then even the chacham would agree that, yes, you would take it away from him. It's just that they argue regarding the halacha metatlin. And therefore, essentially, it should be Mishnah, like the Gemara is saying, it should be considered a valid brisus. Why isn't this a raya to Rav Yosef? Maybe it's going like Remeir. So the Elah, rather, what are you going to say? Why is it, quote, in a Mishnah? It's not a valid brisa. It must be that whoever taught this brisa was mistaken. Mishum da amala, because the Braisa said that because the Yavam should be able to say to the Yavama that at lav bal devarm de diat, you have no claim against me. In other words, I didn't borrow money from you. He could tell the Shemeres Yavam, I borrowed from my brother, and therefore that maybe is what you're saying, that it's not a valid Braisa, because how could she come and claim her ksuba from him? What type of claim? What does she have with him? He borrowed from his brother. His brother's dead. So what does that have to do with his brother's claimant, who's his wife, who wants to collect the ksuba from him? And that the Gemara continues, top of Beis and Manalv, maybe that would not be a reason to say it's not a valid Braisa. Because Dilma, maybe that's not a mistake in whoever taught this Braisa. Because maybe Reb Nosson he. Maybe the time of the Braisa is going to Reb Nosson, who he holds that one creditor could go ahead and collect from the debtor's debtor. The time like Lina Braisa. Reb Nosson Naimer, he says, Minayin l'noisha b'chavei manu. From where do we know that if someone's claiming a mana from his friend, v'chavei b'chaveroi, and that debtor is a creditor for a different debtor, minayin shemitzin mizeh v'noisin l'zeh, how do we know that we take from the final debtor and pay the original creditor? Tamalayim, teach the pasuk b'midbar, it says, v'nosin l'asher ashamalei, that you give it to the one that he's liable to, that is, that it doesn't say to the one that he's a debtor to, it just says whoever the principal has to go to, which is going back all the way to the original one. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, why is this a raya that it's not a valid braisa, but the Yavam owes his brother. His brother owes his wife. Based on the principles of Reb Nosson, that should give the wife a right to collect from the Yavam. So why could the Yavam say, Lav Baldavarm de Diat? She is a Baldava with him. She is his creditor. So therefore, why isn't this a valid halacha that she can go ahead and say, this loan is owed to me, and therefore we take it away from him and make it responsible for her ksuba? So El Rav, the Gemara concludes, the reason why, quote, it's not a Mishnah, it's not a valid Braisa, and the one who taught it must have been mistaken, and that's why it's not a right to Rav Yosef, and that's why he can still hold like a Baya, that B'dieved is Vini, is because like Ashkechan Tana Demachmer Trei Chumer B'ksuba. We never find a Tana that has a double stringency in regard to the halacha of a ksuba. And the reason is because it's a rabbinic halacha. And therefore, we can't say a double chumrah of, first of all, that metatlin is meshubit for the ksuba, which is a stringency that's only like remeir. And moreover, to say that a stringency of Reb Nosson's opinion of that she is the baal chayiv of the yavam. And therefore, Ella, rather, one of those stringencies should have been said in the braisa. Ikra remeir, either like remeir that the case of a loan which is metatlin could be meshubit, or ikra Reb Nosson, or like Reb Nosson, who you could have said a case of karka where he owed his brother karka, and then that is owed to the wife, who, because that's based on the halachic principle of Reb Nosson. But since the time the Braisa taught a double stringency, obviously he did not have this as a messiah, he did not receive this from his teacher, rather he taught it on his own, and therefore whoever organized this Braisa, we don't rely on them at all. Now, the Gemara concludes, I'm a Rava. So Rava said, Imkain, if that's the case, Haine de Shemane le Labaye Damas. Now I understand that this is what Abaye had been saying, that Zu ain't a Mishnah, that this is not a valid Braisa, Belay Danamahi. And I didn't know what that was. In other words, I didn't know the reason for that, why it's not a Mishnah. But now I know it's because that there's a double stringency on the Ksubit's only Drabbanan. That's not something that we find. And therefore, it's not a valid Braisa. And that's why the Halacha could be like Abaye, that even though the Yavam is not allowed to sell when she's a Shemeres Yavam, but B'diyevet Zvini is Zvini, as we find in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph in Beis Hillel Shemachar B'Nosan Kaim, even though she's not allowed to, but after the fact it's going to be valid, and therefore the younger brother, he argued on Rav Yosef, should be allowed to split the brother's estate with the older Yavam.